And good afternoon. This is your Captain Joe, up in the captain's chair for our weekly time together. And we do this on the Voice of Vashon 101.9 on the FM band and streaming live all over the world, from Singapore on one side of the world to the Kingdom of Sweden, and of which Stockholm is the capital, on the other. And we do this on voiceofvashon.org, streaming live. And if you're not able to listen to me live, then you can stream from the archive. And a quick review of how you get to that: go on to voiceofvashon.org, and you will see a button that says shows. Punch that button, and that will bring up a list of all the programs. If you then punch the one that says From the Captain's Chair, it'll bring up all of the archived programs that we have saved. And there's a goofy photograph of me pontificating from the captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, which is where I am right now. My greetings in particular go out today to all of those of Captain Joe's people, whether you are family, whether you are friends, whether you are friends of family rank, whether you are shipmates or classmates who have been with me for the last 3 years, because in 2 days, the 1st of June, it will be 3 years since Mary R. died. The day after that was a broadcast day, and I broadcast live a program, and we had that on the archive for some time. I don't know if it's still there or not, but I broadcast live the day after that, and then for all of the years, the 3 years from then to now, I have been loved and supported and hands reaching out, fingertips reaching out to me every single day. And so my greetings today go out to all of you, and to be, if you knew Mary, then it is time to have some memories of how you knew her. And if you did not, then listen to my words. So I would not, even if I had known what was going to happen, I would not have wanted to miss it. And that is the theme of my life from the day that she died until today. And for what I hope to be, at least I hope, will be many more years, because I've been given the gift of some additional years, and I am trying to use those the best that I can. So those are my greetings today. Yesterday, of course, was Memorial Day. And Memorial Day, Mary R.'s birthday, the anniversary of her death, they all come together at the same time. But yesterday was Memorial Day, and one of the things that I was remembering was all of those who have died, in particular in all of our conflicts. And in particular, am I reminded of that because my neighbor, the good doctor, his dad was a fighter pilot in the European Theater of Operations during World War II. And I knew him and got to talk to him far too briefly. And so it is always, for me, a particular poignant time of the year. The binnacle list is also about Memorial Day. I do not go and I don't go to any of the sales. To me, Memorial Day is not a day for remembering mattress sales or anything like that. And it has a real significance for me because it comes at the time of the year that it does. The binnacle list, happily, the binnacle list does not have any entries in it this week for those who have crossed the bar. So it is for me to say that for everybody on the binnacle list who has had some kind of a procedure, surgery, or some other kind of medical procedure to get you off of the binnacle list, know that all of you remain in the palm of my hand. And as always, it is my wish, my hope, and my command that you follow the instructions of your medical practitioner so that you return to full and active duty. For the for your calendar, next week, of course, is the 6th of June. And every year from the 6th of June, I do, or the broadcast, which is closest to the 6th of June, I do a special remembrance about the D-Day landings. And I do that in particular because it has special significance to Coast Guard people, because we provided the rescue flotilla that picked up people that were, when landing craft were hit, and many of those landing craft were manned by Coast Guard coxswains and Coast Guard crews. And when those landing craft were hit by the defending Germans and soldiers and crews went into the water, they were picked up by the Coast Guard rescue flotilla, thus fulfilling the tradition that we have followed always, 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 that the tradition which we have done since 1790 of rescuing the hapless mariner who is in peril in the sea. So that's next week. We'll talk about a little bit about D-Day, and I have a special book recommendation which is connected to that. In 2 weeks, a shipmate of mine from my Ingham in Vietnam and his lovely lady, along with Captain O'Brien and the counselor, we're going to do a joint broadcast here. And for that, we are probably not going to have nearly enough time. But that one is 2 weeks. And then in 3 weeks, I'm going to be up in Michigan, and I'm going to be returning to my my shore command when I was the group commander up in Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan, up in the Upper Peninsula. And I am planning to broadcast from the Coast Guard Air Station at Traverse City, Michigan. Not up on the UP, it's just over the Straits of Mackinac. But if you've never been to the UP of Michigan, the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and I determined this morning that Captain O'Brien has never been there, I urge you to make that as one of the trips that you should take. It's a lovely part of the country. It is lovely people. And I highly recommend that if you've not ever done it, that this is one of the things that you ought to do. So that's on the schedule for you to be looking forward to. And now let's go to G-Captain. We're going to go to G-Captain right now. So the first thing from G-Captain that I picked up today was that the Filipino, the Japanese, and the American Coast Guard are going to hold joint exercises off of Bataan from the 1st to the 7th of June. This is significant for a couple of reasons. First of all of the coast guards of the countries which are on the Pacific Rim are doing more and more joint exercises. These are search and rescue exercises. They are aircraft handling exercises. The photograph that goes with this particular article shows a Philippine Coast Guard, and looks very, very much like one of ours, except that instead of saying U.S. Coast Guard on the side, it says Philippine Coast Guard, but they're painted white, and they have the slash, the stripe, just like we do. And the management and the establishment of the Japanese Coast Guard is modeled very much on the U.S. Coast Guard. Right after the end of World War II, and the Japanese government wanted to establish a service similar to the U.S. Coast Guard, and so we had people who were advisors to them as the Japanese Coast Guard was set up. We've had ever since the end of World War II a very close relationship with the Japanese Coast Guard. And now that things are heating up in the South China Sea with the Chinese claiming, along with the Philippines claiming, and The Vietnamese are getting into it. All of these people wanting a little piece of the South China Sea, in particular in an area called the Spratly Islands, which are not really islands. They're sort of like overgrown coral reefs. And all of the coast guards of that part of the world are being gravitationally pulled to the South China Sea. I don't see how there cannot be some confrontations. It is my hope and my wish and my desire, and it would certainly be my command if I had the ability to command here, that they all get together, they tie up alongside of each other. They do what we do down in Antarctica. And that is that in Antarctica, all of the stations on the Antarctic continent are open to inspection by all of the other signatories. And I'd like to see the same kind of thing happen in the South China Sea amongst all of these coast guards. The Philippines, the Chinese. Chinese have got some very powerful Coast Guard ships. I don't use the word cutter. I use the word cutter only for U.S. Coast Guard ships because that goes all the way back to our founding in 1790. The Chinese Coast Guard has some very powerful ships, and it's my hope that instead of there being confrontations, that they're being captains trying to bluff each other out, that they will nest together someplace, and the captains and the crews will go back and forth across each other's quarterdecks and exchange information, exchange things from the ship store, and behave as proper seamen should, and sharing the waters without getting into the politics of it. I realize that is probably a faint and possibly even vain hope. But that's the way I would like to see it. And if I were the captain of one of our cutters, one of a Coast Guard cutters, I would be reaching out to my brother captains, regardless of the flag that they flew, and see if we couldn't all just sit down and talk like sailors should, and especially captains. So those exercises are going to go on from the 1st to the 7th with the Philippine, the Japanese, and the U.S. Coast Guard working together. And I look for some really good cooperation coming out of that. Another article from G. Captain, and this has to do with the Arctic. My favorite oxen to gore, the Arctic, where our presence is mostly in the absence thereof, and we know the reason for that. The Russians are planning to try year-round navigation of the North Sea route. The North Sea route goes from Murmansk on one side to Vladivostok on the other, all the way across the top of Siberia. And they're planning to try year-round navigation of the North Sea route in early 2024. In order to make this happen, the Russians are going to have to use the nuclear-powered icebreakers, and the most powerful of which is Arctica 2. And if you call up Arctica, you and in the English transliteration from the Cyrillic, it is ARTIKA, Alpha Romeo Tango India Kilo Alpha. And the first Arctica was one of the first of the nuclear-powered icebreakers. You can tell her because she has the shark mouth on her bow. And now Arctica 2 has been launched, has had her sea trials, and is going to be used certainly in this year-round navigation. An incredibly powerful ship. Not a particularly attractive-looking ship, incredibly powerful. And if they're going to be able to do the North Sea route year round, it will be Arctica 2 and her sisters. There are several sisters that are either under construction or are ready to go to work. So the amount of traffic going across the North Sea route now is increasing dramatically, and the Russians are hoping that by the year 2030, they will have as much as 200 million long tons of cargo capacity going back and forth. I will be, of course, watching this. And as in the South China Sea, I do not see how we can avoid some kind of pretty serious confrontations in the Arctic. As China becomes more and more involved in wanting to have shipping under the Chinese flag, the PRC flag, go through and across the Arctic, across the top. So we'll be talking more about that, and you all know that I have a great deal of interest and a great deal of concern in all of this, and I try to project that interest and concern onto all of Captain Joe's people. This last Sunday, I was out at Point Robinson Light, and I was giving tours out there. I find this work to be particularly satisfying. And what happened this last week was a combination of some come to the captain, some teaching, some refreshing and recollections. It was just a glorious day. One of the things that happened was that I had a large group of graduates of Lacey High School who had just decided together, there were probably 12 of them, some girls and boys, and they had just decided that they were going to take a day trip, and they didn't know what they were going to find when they came onto the magical isle, but they came out to the light. And I am inside the lighthouse, and I'm talking to a group of people, adults. And this group of young people came in. And so I never loath to engage anybody in conversation. Got them talking and laughing, and I said, "Do you know where the bicycle in the tree?" For those of you who do not know anything about the magical isle of Vashon, we have a tree here on the island which has grown up around a bicycle. A bicycle got left in the tree, and then the tree grew up around it. It's a long story and a great deal of controversy as to how that actually got started. That's beyond the scope of our discussion right now. So anyway, I asked these young people whether they knew anything about the bicycle in the tree, and of course they were intrigued. So we had a little bit of a lesson in map work, paper map work, and a little bit of a lesson in how you go look for something which does not have any signage, because there's no sign that tells you where is the bicycle in the tree. I tell this story because I found these young people to be respectful. I found them to be delightful to talk to. I found them to be articulate. And I found them to be just the kind of people, that kind of young people that I like to enlist as Captain Joe's people. They didn't know it at the time, but that is indeed what they are. So I take this opportunity to wish every single graduate of every single high school in this great land that we all continue to serve, to wish you the very best. Being like these young people in one way, don't take yourself too seriously. Cut the adults in your life a little bit of slack. And enjoy the fruits of your hard work. A well done, Bravo Zulu, to every single high school graduate out there. And if you found that the formal high school environment was not a good thing, I had a wonderful high school experience myself. But if you found that the high school experience was not the formal high school experience was not right for you, and you graduated either from an alternative school or you got your GED, I don't remember what the letters stand for, but it means a high school diploma. If that's the way you did it, even more do I give you a well done, because you overcame challenges beyond just going to school and checking the boxes. I just had a wonderful day with this group of young people. And the other thing that happened was that I had a lot of children, and I always send and especially children with dogs. And I always send them out to the beach, and we had a really low tide on Sunday. So they were able to get out and to collect some really neat things. And I always urge them to look around for crab shells, and in particular ones with the claws still intact, and then to bring them into me, and I'll show them how the claws work. And I had several children who did that. No dogs that were wet and dirty. A couple of dogs that didn't like the water. If you do come and see me on on a Sunday, there will be water down there for your dog. And I will urge you to go out and get wet and dirty and then come back in and talk to me. That we had a lot of that on this last Sunday. One of the things that I did on Sunday was hand out the Save the Date cards for the 4th of June. That's low tide celebration, and this year we are doing it for the first time since the virus. And we're doing it with some new people in the planning group, which I head up. And I have a number of wonderful friends who are co-leaders in this whole effort. It's going to be a great event. It is from 10 o'clock in the morning, 1000, until 2 o'clock in the afternoon, 1400. And the reason that that time frame is that right in the middle of it, we have the lowest tide for a weekend for this summer. And thanks to the Vashon Nature Center and Dr. Perla and Maria and all of the people at the Nature Center, we have trained beach naturalists from the high school who are going to take children out onto the beach and show them all the things that they can see only when the tide is at its lowest. We have a number of displays set up. We're going to have a presence from the Pacific Northwest Poison Center who will be able to talk about how you treat yourself if you get stung by jellyfish, for example. And hopefully there will be an appearance by Mr. Yuck. I am not Mr. Yuck. So come and see us on the 4th. We will have a shuttle bus which will be patrolling along the line of cars. Get on the shuttle bus, and that'll take you right down to the Lighthouse Meadow. The lighthouse will be open. I will be doing the tours from there, and the ship store will be open, and we have a lot of really interesting exhibits. But the high point of the day will be your ability to go out onto the beach at its lowest, that when the tide is at its lowest, go out on the beach with people who have been trained to teach you and your children. We do ask you not to bring your dogs on this one. And it will be a wonderful event, and it will be the kind of thing that I particularly like to be a part of. Again, because one of the high points of it is that we in particular point it toward children, toward kids, of which I am one, the oldest chronologically, but youngest when it comes to being even today particularly enthralled by a crab shell where the claw still works. Come and see us on Sunday, the 4th of June. Come early, stay late. I will be there all afternoon, even though the official ending of the event is at 1400. The tall ship Europa fell over in her dry dock in South Africa. There is a very sad photograph of her lying over on her side. Europa is an interesting ship. She originally was a light ship and then was converted into a, when light ships were no more, and I don't believe that we have any light ships anywhere left in the world. We had a number of them in the United States up until about 1970, maybe. One of the last one was the light ship that was the approaches to New York Harbor. Anyway, there are not any light ships of which I'm aware anywhere left in the world. And so when the light ship for the Elba River was decommissioned, she was converted into a tall ship. And she now sails all over the world. And she was put into dry dock apparently for some routine maintenance in South Africa. And somewhere when the transition from when she's on the blocks to when she's actually afloat, so when a ship is the most vulnerable is when she is in that transition phase. And something went awry. I believe her dockmaster, the dockmaster for that dock, is probably looking for new employment. Anyway, there's a sad photograph. The name of the ship is Europa, E-U-R-O-P-A. And you can call up a photograph of her lying over on her side. If you need a little bit of sadness in your life today, that one will do it for you. The in good news, always good news is what I like on this program. The Jumbo Mark II ferries. I'm not going to get into either the politics or the operational deficiencies of the Washington State ferry system, except to say that I long, continue to long in my black captain's heart to command the ferry system myself for about 6 months. I've offered to do it for no salary, but so far my offer has not been accepted. The Jumbo Mark IIs, of which the ferry Tacoma is one of them, these are big ships, big boats. I use the word boat interchangeably with ship for ferries because traditionally they have been called boats. And in any case, the Jumbo Mark IIs are really big ones, and they're going to be converted to a hybrid electric system, which means that they will have internal combustion engine, diesel engines, to charge up electric motors and to charge the batteries, and the batteries will then drive the electric motors. I remain really interested as to how this is going to work, and I believe Tacoma is the first one that's going to be converted. We'll see how all that works. And all of a sudden, it's 1300, which is 2 hours, or two bells of the afternoon watch, and it's time once again for your Captain Joe to say that we never say goodbye. We say, until we meet again. And to thank all of you for being Captain Joe's people, especially through the 3 years since Mary's death, for which I am enormously grateful. And I also say that this is indeed your Captain Joe on station and watching properly.